Johnson Rover, and only you can. I won't build my life on sinking sand. You're my hope forever, the rock where I stand.
I will win this battle with the strength of my own hands. You're the mountain mover, and only you can. I will build my life on sinking sand. You're my hope forever, the rock where I stand. The rock where I stand. All on the ground, sinking sand. All on the ground, sinking sand. I'm confident your faithfulness will see.
God bless you, everybody. Welcome to our Good Friday worship celebration. The Word of God tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we're here tonight to worship him and give thanks to the Lord for his amazing grace in our lives.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King above all kings. This is amazing grace. Take my place. That you would bear my cross. You'd lay down your life. That I would be set free. I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan my son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all. Justice shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. It's amazing, this is amazing grace.
Jesus, for your amazing grace. Lord Jesus, your word tells us that you were the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hand. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know is your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. I crown you now, Lord. I crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious, high
is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid. All my sin and shame, in love you came, and you gave amazing. And thank you for your love, thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail pierced hand, washed me in your cleansing. Now all I know is your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. I crown you now with many darling of heaven, crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy.
Come on, sing that chorus. Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. I crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. Darling of heaven, crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
Sing, worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.
You're worthy to receive glory and honor and might and blessing. Hallelujah. Jesus, by your blood, you have caused us to be born again. Your word says, into a living hope. No more despair, Lord, but now we have a sure hope of eternal life because of your cross.
Great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The word is finished. The end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory.
Pastor Nick, thank you, Caleb, thank you, Maurizio, for leading us in worship this evening. We just want to welcome you to this very special Good Friday evening. Good Friday is a night that we look forward to every year here at HTC, one of our most special nights as we celebrate what Christ has done for us on the cross. And our celebration is a little bit different in format this year, but it's just as much full of joy, and we're just as much together, connected by the Spirit of the Lord all across this region
And so it's just great to be together. We're going to read in a moment from John chapter 19. If you happen to have your Bible or your Bible app, you can open it to John chapter 19. We're going to read from verse 17, and we're going to share for a moment about "It is finished." If you'd like an outline of tonight's sermon, it's available to you. There's a PDF, and you can find a link to the PDF in the comments section on the live streaming. You can click on that and print out the handout and follow along that way this evening. I want to say at the conclusion of our service, we're going to receive communion together. If you haven't already prepared communion, now is the time to quickly get together some communion symbols. All you need is a little bread or a cracker, some juice, or you can have some alternative to drink. The power is not in the symbols. The power is in the act of faith receiving together. And we would love to see photos of your Good Friday communion table, of you at the table. If you're alone, email us a selfie of you at your communion table. If it's you and your spouse, email a toofie of the two of you at your communion table. If there's a whole crew, email us a crewfie of you and your crew gathered at the communion table. You can email those to office@htchurch.com, and once we receive your photos, we're going to put together just a little glimpse of what Good Friday looked like this year, our HTC family receiving communion, not in one under one roof, but scattered all across the region. We hope you'll join us for worship on Easter Sunday. We will be streaming live at 9 and 11 a.m. on Easter Sunday morning. Best place to connect with us is at our webpage, www.htchurch.com. If you connect to our live stream through the webpage, you can participate in the chat with other HTC family members that are watching the same service as you. Invite a friend to connect with us on Easter Sunday morning. Pass the link along to our webpage and invite them to watch with you either at 9 or 11 this Easter Sunday morning. The Lord's given me really a word of faith, and I'm looking forward to sharing that word with you. It encouraged me so much during this season, and I believe it's going to be an encouragement to you as well. All right, if you have your Bibles or your Bible app, look with me. John chapter 19, beginning in verse 17, let's talk about "It is finished." John 19, reading in verse 17. The Bible says, "So the soldiers took charge of Jesus, carrying his own cross. He went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.' Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, 'Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews.' Pilate answered, 'What I have written, I have written.' When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. 'Let's not tear it,' they said to one another. 'Let's decide by lot who will get it.' This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, 'They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment.' So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, 'Woman, here is your son,' and to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' From that time on, this disciple took her into his home." Look at verse 28 of John 19. "Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Let's talk for a few minutes before we receive communion about "it is finished." It is finished. So last summer, we were privileged to take a family vacation to Paris. It was kind of our last hurrah before our twins' senior year of high school. As it turned out, there was a historic heat wave in Paris. It was 106 degrees the day that we went to visit the Louvre, and there was just a sea of tourists. It turns out that if I hadn't booked a tour in advance, we wouldn't have gotten into the Louvre that day. The Louvre, of course, is the home to the Mona Lisa. There was such a crush of tourists trying to get in to see her, we couldn't stand very long in front of the painting. But the history that we learned while we were waiting in line was just as fascinating as the painting itself. Leonardo da Vinci, the great Renaissance artist and inventor, only has about 15 surviving paintings. He didn't produce very many because he tinkered with every painting for years and years. For example, da Vinci worked on the Mona Lisa on and off for a period of about 16 years. It's believed that he last worked on the Mona Lisa just 3 days before his death in 1519, and he died leaving her unfinished. Da Vinci is credited with a quote, "Art is never finished, only abandoned." You know, it seems to me that many people leave this world just like old Leonardo, with lives that were never really finished, just abandoned. Not that their contributions to the world weren't meaningful, but they can't really say with confidence that they finished everything that they were meant to. Compare that with the wonderful life and death of Jesus. On a Roman cross on Good Friday, Jesus died with a victorious shout, "It is finished." Along the way, there was nothing that Jesus abandoned. There was nothing he was meant to do that was left undone. There was nothing he should do that he didn't do. "It is finished" means that Jesus lived the life that the Father wanted him to, down to the dotting of every last I and the crossing of every last T. And because Jesus finished, we can finish too. Just before we receive communion together, I want to share three things quickly that "it is finished" means for us. Three things "it is finished" means for us. First of all, "it is finished" means I can really, really, really trust Jesus. I can really, really, really trust him. What did Jesus mean when he shouted, "It is finished"? One thing that he meant is that every prophecy made about him, every Old Testament picture of him, every promise made concerning him, they were all entirely fulfilled by Jesus. One thing that sets Christianity apart from every other world religion is the phenomenon of fulfilled prophecy. No other holy book has fulfilled prophecies, but the Bible has hundreds of them. In fact, Jesus fulfilled over 300 specific prophecies that were made about him thousands of years before he came. Would you like a sample? I'm glad you asked. It was prophesied that his mother would be a virgin, that he would be the seed of Abraham, a descendant of King David, that he would receive his name before he was born, that he would be born in Bethlehem, that after his birth a great tragedy would occur in Bethlehem, that he would escape to Egypt and return again. It was prophesied that one would come before him, preparing the way for his ministry, that the blind, the deaf, the mute, and the lame would be healed by him, that he would teach in parables, that he would calm the storm. It was prophesied that he would enter Jerusalem on a donkey to the joyful shouts of the people, that he would be rejected by the Jews, that he would be despised and hated without cause, that he would be betrayed by a close friend for 30 pieces of silver and abandoned by his own disciples, that he would be led to the slaughter, taken to judgment, testified against by false witnesses, and yet refused to defend himself, that he would be declared innocent, but nevertheless be unjustly condemned to die, that he would be numbered with the transgressors. It was prophesied that his hands and his feet would be pierced, that he would be surrounded by Gentile soldiers and Jewish mockers, that they would cast lots for his clothing, that he would make intercession for the transgressors, that they would offer him wine mixed with bitter herbs, that no one would take pity on him, that his friends would stand far away from him, that they would all regret crucifying him immediately after the deed was done, that none of his bones would be broken, that he would be buried in a rich man's grave. And the last prophecy fulfilled before he shouted, "It is finished," that they would offer him vinegar for his thirst. Not only did Jesus fulfill all of these specific prophecies and many more, Jesus also fulfilled every Old Testament picture that foreshadowed him. Isaac carrying the wood on his back up the hill where he himself would become the sacrifice. God will provide for himself a sacrifice, my son. Jacob's ladder was a picture of Jesus, the children of Israel painting the doorposts of their homes with the blood of the Passover lamb, Moses lifting up the brass serpent in the wilderness that broke sin's curse and healed the dying, the rock in the wilderness that was struck and poured out a river of living water, Aaron going behind the thick veil to offer the blood on the mercy street, on the mercy seat, on the lid of the Ark of the Covenant on the Day of Atonement, and then placing the sins of the people on the head of the scapegoat who carried their sins far away, never to be seen again. The red heifer sacrifice outside of the camp for purification from sins, and the daily sacrifices and offerings performed for thousands of years. Jesus fulfilled the picture of himself painted in the person of Noah and Melchizedek, the priest of Salem, and Joseph and Joshua and Gideon and King David and King Solomon and Boaz and Jonah and Zerubbabel and others. Jesus also fulfilled the picture of himself presented in the Jewish temple and in Moses' tabernacle in the wilderness that preceded it. The whole overall structure of the temple and the tabernacle is a picture of him. Each distinct space is a picture of him. Every piece of sacred furniture is a picture of him. Every priestly function is a picture of him. Every type of sacrifice is a picture of him. And Jesus fulfilled all of it. Precious friends, listen. Jesus is the subject of the entire Bible. He said to the Jewish religious leaders, "You scour the scriptures looking for the key to eternal life. Every line, every verse is about me, and yet you refuse to come to me and live." Here's a thought. Listen on this Good Friday evening. Not only did Jesus fulfill hundreds of prophecies about him, Jesus fulfilled every prophecy made about him. He didn't leave one single prophecy undone, so that there can be no shadow of doubt that he is the one whom God promised to send, the Jewish Messiah, the Savior of the world. There can be no room for uncertainty, no room for skepticism. Jesus himself said that fulfilled prophecy is one way that we can be sure he truly is the Savior. When John the Baptist was in prison, he began to question whether Jesus was really the promised Messiah. You know, everybody listen, on this most unusual Good Friday evening, here's a word of comfort from the Lord. Suffering has a way of making us question God. Do you know, God understands that. Jesus said that John the Baptist was the greatest of all whoever were born of women. And yet, even in the midst of suffering, John questioned. He sent a message to Jesus. He said, "Are you the one that God promised, or should we look for another?" Jesus answered, "Tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is preached to the poor." That's a fulfillment of the messianic prophecy in Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6. In other words, John, fulfilled prophecy is how you can be sure that you have found the right one. You don't need to look anywhere else, and neither do we. Those of you who are bilingual or multilingual know that when you translate something from one language to another, sometimes a little bit of the poetic punch is lost in the translation. That is true here in John's account of the crucifixion. In Greek, the word "it is finished" is tetelestai. It means to bring an end to something. It means task completed, mission accomplished. What's interesting is that in John 19, the word tetelestai actually appears not one time, but actually appears three times. John 19:28. Later, knowing that all things had been finished, tetelestai, and so that the scripture might be fulfilled, tetelestai, Jesus said, "I'm thirsty." That prompted the soldiers to offer Jesus vinegar in fulfillment of Psalm 69:21, the very last prophecy that pertained to Jesus' life. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished, tetelestai." You see what John did there? It's not very apparent in our English Bibles, but in the original language, it shouts at you, tetelestai, 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 finished, finished, finished. So during quarantine, Denise and I had the chance to sit down and watch the recent movie Ford versus Ferrari. If you haven't seen it, it's a fun movie. Nobody believed that Ford could make a car that could rival a Ferrari. But in 1966, the Ford GT40 dominated the French Le Mans race. As a parting shot to Ferrari, Ford had their cars line up and cross the finish line, 1, 2, 3. It was Henry Ford II's way of telling Enzo Ferrari, "I win, I win, I win." And that's exactly what happened at the death of Jesus. Tetelestai, tetelestai, tetelestai. Jesus has finished, finished, finished it all. So we have every assurance that we can fully trust him to be our Lord, our Savior, and our leader. We don't have to look anywhere else besides Jesus, nor will we find what we need anywhere else. Three things "it is finished" means for us. Number one, I can really, really, really trust Jesus. Number two, "it is finished" means, this is a good one right here, I don't need religion anymore. I don't need religion anymore. What did Jesus mean by "it is finished"? Another thing he meant is that the work of atonement is completed once and for all. Another meaning for the word tetelestai is "paid in full." In fact, they would write it on notices of debt that had been satisfied, on promissory notes. They would write the word tetelestai, paid in full. Maybe you've paid off a car loan or a consumer loan or even your mortgage, and you received back your original promissory note stamped "paid in full." This is the way that tetelestai was used. It's a banking term. On the cross, Jesus took upon himself the full penalty for all lawbreakers for all time, and he paid it in full with the offering of his own blood. St. Paul wrote about this. He wrote to the Colossians, "Jesus has canceled the promissory note that was written in our own hand, signed in our own hand, that was against us. And he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross." For thousands of years, the daily and the annual animal sacrifices of the Jewish people all foreshadowed one ultimate sacrifice that would end them all. Jesus said, "Don't think I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I've come to fulfill them." Jesus fulfilled the law first by keeping it perfectly. Not just the letter of the law, but the whole spirit of the law. And then Jesus fulfilled the law by offering his own innocent blood in payment of the penalty of lawbreakers. So both positively by keeping the law and negatively by paying the penalty of the law, Jesus has satisfied fully the demands of the law. That's why Paul wrote, "Christ is the end of the law, the tetelestai of the law. The law has nothing left to do. It's all finished." While Jesus hung on the cross, the sky grew dark for about 3 hours. Behind the veil of darkness, Jesus, our great high priest, offered his own blood on the heavenly mercy seat. And how do we know that this offering was accepted by God? Well, we know because when the darkness lifted at 3 p.m., the thick curtain in the temple that separated the Holy of Holies from the temple sanctuary was split in two from top to bottom. Only God could have ripped it from the top to the bottom. The curtain wasn't needed any longer. In fact, the temple wasn't needed any longer. One greater than the temple had come. Many people have speculated that the darkness on Good Friday meant that the Father turned his face away from the Son. I don't believe that he did. The darkness followed by the torn curtain meant that God turned his face away not from Jesus, but he turned his face away from the temple. Because Jesus paid it all, we don't need religion anymore. We don't need to keep a scorecard of religious rituals or accumulate a pile of good deeds in order to earn our way to heaven. We don't need to recite prayers X number of times a day. We don't need to attend religious services X number of times a week, or fast X number of days per year, nor give X amount of dollars in offerings, nor keep X number of rules for X number of years. We don't have to work for admittance into heaven as if we're earning a merit badge. Since Jesus has already tetelestai, since he has already paid in full our penalty. There's absolutely nothing we could add to what he's paid that would make any difference. And in fact, to try to do so would really be an insult to his gracious gift. So for my 50th birthday, I got a little VW Beetle convertible. It's a fun little car. I call it my baby Porsche. Bob Ferretti and Kyle O'Neill, if you're watching tonight, it goes a little faster on the back roads of Greenwich than it ought to. Around the time I bought the VW, my mother-in-law came into a pretty substantial inheritance. She wanted to bless her kids, so she bought her two sons and her daughter new vehicles. Although neither Denise nor I were mom's biological children, she loved us like we were her own. She was good to us in every way that she could be. So she asked me how much was the Beetle. I told her the cost, and she paid it off for me in full. Denise and I really couldn't believe her kindness to us. But you know, the month after she paid off the Beetle, I decided, you know what? I appreciate mom's kindness, but I'm just going to go ahead and pay that car off myself anyway. And so I sent VW Credit a check for $300. VW got the check and they were totally confused. They returned it to me with a letter. "Sir, your loan has been paid in full. No further payment is necessary. Your account is closed." The next month, not wanting to fall behind on my payments, I sent them a check for $600. Again, they returned the check with a letter. "Sir, your loan has been paid in full. No further payment is necessary. Your account is closed." This went on for a couple of months until my in-laws were visiting again. I was sitting at our kitchen table writing bills, and my mother-in-law saw me writing a big check to VW Credit. And she asked me, "What are you doing? I already paid that loan for you. Why are you trying to pay it again?" And she was hurt and a little insulted that I was spurning her very valuable, generous gift to me. Well, I guess you already know it really didn't happen that way. Mom did pay off my Beetle, that's true, but I didn't try to pay it again myself, as if. That would be just absurd. Listen tonight. No less absurd are any efforts that we would make to earn our way to heaven when Jesus has already tetelestai, paid in full the price for our admittance. Not only are my efforts completely worthless, they're actually an insult to the one who loved me and gave himself for me. The only response God wants from us is to gratefully receive his free gift by believing on Jesus. One day, some people approached Jesus and they said, "What works must we do to receive eternal life?" Jesus answered, "The work of God," not works, but "the work of God," just one thing, "is to believe in the one whom he sent." To believe in Jesus. We don't need religion anymore. Yes, we worship together because we get to enjoy his presence. We fellowship with each other because we love being in the presence of people who love him as much as we do. We pray because we have the privilege of boldly approaching His throne of grace for help, and He won't deny us. We fast because we're hungry to draw near to Him. We give because we have the privilege of participating in heaven's economy. And listen, His economy only ever expands. It never retracts. We serve because we're imitators of the one who came to serve others and to give His life as a ransom. Yes, all these things we do, but religion we don't do. The way that we respond to Jesus' work on the cross is simply with a prayer of believing. Just before we receive communion tonight, I'm going to lead us in a prayer of believing on Jesus. And maybe tonight is your night to receive His generous gift of salvation. Three things it is finished means for us. Stay with us. We're going to share communion in just a moment. Three things. Number one, I can really, really, really trust Jesus. Number two, I don't need religion anymore. Finally, this, it is finished means I really can have a new beginning. What did Jesus mean by it is finished? One final thought. It is finished means the end of Jesus' earthly sufferings and humiliation. Jesus never had to grasp at equality with God because He is God. But Jesus emptied Himself. And He became a servant. He put on a body of human flesh. He stepped out of eternity and into human history. Jesus fully experienced human life as a baby, as a boy, as a teenager, and then as a man. And being found as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even a shameful death on a cross. For about 15 hours on Good Friday, the Father handed Jesus over into the hands of men, and we did our very worst to Him. But on Easter Sunday, Jesus rose from the grave to begin an entirely new existence. God has elevated Jesus to the highest place and has given Him a name that is above every name. God has seated Jesus at His right hand, has made Jesus head over everything, and has put all things under the feet of Jesus for the benefit of we, the church. By the way, all things under the feet of Jesus includes the coronavirus. It is finished means that humiliation is done and elevation has begun. Just before we receive communion tonight, I want to share the story of Father Giuseppe Berardelli from northern Italy. He perished last month at the age of 72 from the coronavirus. There was an outpouring of admiration as news agencies around the world shared his story. When Father Berardelli learned that a younger patient needed a ventilator and there were no ventilators left, he refused a ventilator that was offered to him so that the younger man could live. He sacrificed his life to save the life of another. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us on Good Friday. Jesus said, no greater love has any man than that he lay down his life for another. On Good Friday, Jesus laid down his life so that you and I could have a second shot at life, so that we could have a new beginning, doing things a whole new way. There's a moment of believing on Jesus when His experiences in the cross and the resurrection become our experiences too. St. Paul wrote, in that moment of believing, We become a newly created being. Old things pass away and all things become new. Jesus said that that transformation that happens inside of us is so radical. It's like being born all over again. Or those words also mean born from above. In that moment of believing, humiliation is done and elevation with Jesus has begun. Just before we share communion, I feel like I have a word from the Lord, especially for someone who's watching this service tonight. You've suffered mistreatment in the hands of men. In fact, I believe there's someone you've suffered mistreatment in the hands of a man in particular. But Jesus is coming to rescue you out of the hands of men and place you securely in the hands of your loving Father. Jesus wants to end your season of humiliation, and he wants you to experience elevation in him. What does "it is finished" mean for me? I can really, really, really trust Jesus. I don't need religion anymore, and I really can have a new beginning. In just one moment, we're going to share communion together as one family scattered across this whole region. But just before we do, I've asked Pastor Nick to share a hymn with us. The words are on the screen. You can sing along if you know it. This is the love song of the Welsh Revival. Let's sing, and then we're going to receive communion together.
Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood, where the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who is love will not remember, who can cease to sing his praise? He can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal day. On the mount of crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide, through the flood gates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love, like mighty rivers, poured incessant from above, and heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed our guilty world. And here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood, where the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who his love will not remember, who can cease to sing his praise? He can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. Grace and love, like mighty rivers, poured incessant from above, and heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed our guilty world in love. You kissed our guilty world in love.
Just before we share communion, I'd like to lead you in a prayer of believing. How do we respond to Good Friday? How do we receive this free gift that Jesus has extended to us? Jesus, what is the works that God requires? The work of God is just one thing, to believe on the one that he sent, Jesus. The way we respond to Good Friday is by praying a prayer of believing. And there might be somebody watching this evening, you've never prayed a prayer like that before. Tonight, I'd like to lead you in a prayer. Maybe there's someone watching tonight and you prayed a prayer like that a long time ago, but a lot of water has gone under the bridge since then, and you'd like to pray it again. I'd like to lead you, and for our entire HTC family watching in your homes this evening, I'd like to invite you as we say this prayer to just repeat it aloud with me. Let's help some others respond to the cross on Good Friday. I'll lead in a prayer of believing. I want to invite you to just out loud say it aloud, whether you're alone, whether you're watching with others this evening, say it out loud. Let's say this prayer of believing together on Jesus. I'll lead and you follow. Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your only son, Jesus. Thank you for coming. You lived a perfect life for me. You died on the cross for me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you rose from the dead. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Jesus, I receive your free gift tonight. I receive forgiveness. I receive cleansing. I receive newness of life. I receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, I confess you now as my Lord and the leader of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time this evening, we would love to connect with you. And the way we can do that is if you would take out your cell phone and text the word BELIEVE to the number 917-905-6806, 917-905-6806. The number is scrolling across your screen. Text the word BELIEVE to that number, and that'll let us know that you prayed that prayer believing tonight for the first time or for the first time in a long time. And we want to reach out to you and just celebrate with you, pray a prayer of blessing over you. So if you'll do that, that'll make it a really joyful Good Friday. Now we're going to share communion together. And I want to ask you to send a photo of yourself. If you're by yourself, send a photo of yourself at your communion table or with your spouse or your family. I'm going to invite my family to come and join me now at this table. And all across the region, we're going to receive communion. You know what? It's always special to take communion under one roof, but it's kind of special to take it across this entire region this evening. We're just representing the Lord all over Westchester County, all over Fairfield County, and beyond. The Apostle Paul wrote, "I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Let's pray. Father, thank you that you so loved us, that you gave Jesus your only son. Thank you that his body was broken so that we might be made whole in every way, whole in our innermost being, whole in our spirit, in our connection with you, whole in our thinking, whole in our emotions, whole in our decision-making, whole in our relationship, whole in our souls. Thank you that his body was broken so that even these physical bodies in which we now live have the promise of redemption, of renewal and transformation at the end of this life. And we thank you in the meantime that healing is still the children's bread. Father, we pray that you would keep every one of our precious, beloved HTC family, every family member safe from the coronavirus. Lord, we pray that the blood of Jesus, the Lamb, would be over the doorposts of every home, over our heads, and over our family members. Lord, we pray for those that are sick with COVID-19. Lord, we pray for your miraculous healing in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that because Jesus shed his blood for us, we pray, Lord, that this plague would be stopped, Lord. Father, we thank you that Jesus' body was broken so that we who were not a body could now be the people of God, the body of Christ. Lord, we pray as we receive this communion, you would just minister the unity of the Holy Spirit, even though we're gathered in 100 different locations tonight. I pray, Father, that your Spirit would just unite us together. And Lord, we thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that washes away every sin stain. Lord, thank you that if we confess our sins to you, you're faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So now, Father, by faith in the cross of Jesus Christ, we receive everything purchased for us on Calvary. If your heart agrees with that, would you say amen and amen all over this area? God bless you. Let's receive communion together. You can receive the bread first, and then you can receive the cup. Go ahead and receive the bread. After you receive the bread, you can go ahead and receive the cup. Let's receive together. Come on, would you celebrate Jesus for just one moment in your heart? Would you just give him thanks? Father, we worship you. We magnify you. Jesus, we exalt you. Holy Spirit. In our homes and in our hearts on this Good Friday evening and this Easter weekend. Pastor Nick, would you sing for us just one time and then we're going to finish our service.
Amazed love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love. I honor you in all I do. I honor you.
God bless you, everybody. Remember to send your photos of communion to office@htchurch.com, office@htchurch.com, and we're going to put together a glimpse on video of Good Friday on our HTC family all across this region. Remember, Easter Sunday, 9 at 11 at htchurch.com. Invite some friends to tune in and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus with us. God bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. In the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, amen and amen. Good night, Harvest Time.